WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbite. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice 1 toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or Star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soundbite. Today is Saturday. It is the 18th of January, Anno Domini 2003. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Pustilla.
I'm Jesse Grass.
And you are listening to the world's longest running, and deservedly so, radio show.
And it wasn't even an SU football game, though.
It was an SU basketball game. We finished the basketball game. We finished the highlights after the game. So those of you who listened to the game then got to hear it all over again. This is the 21st century, and nostalgia is measured in minutes.
Now, easy for you to say.
Remember that great game we just finished?
And they lost?
And they lost, yeah.
Yeah, the other team was more physical. Apparently, we were napping, and they were actually standing up, so they won.
But at any rate, the basketball is over, and now it's time for the computing stuff. We're going to start, as we so often do.
With what?
Possibly always do.
With what?
With the news.
Really?
Yeah, let's start with the news. Let's start with
the news. We can wait until the end of the show and then do the news.
We can do the news last, but then it's old.
Well, then we can...
Oh, it's a car.
Well, then we'll have to recap the news after we do the news.
Because then it'll be nostalgic.
Wait a minute.
Remember that great news story we had?
Well, then maybe after the show, we should save the last 10 minutes after the show and recap all the calls that we did, just in case.
The last 10 minutes after the show? You mean after the show?
Yeah, so they have a
after the show is over,
yeah.
When we're off the air, we'll sit around and...
No, we'll still stay on for another... we'll stay on for another 10 minutes.
We'll stay on for another 10 minutes.
And recap the show.
And for those of you who just listened to the show, here it is all over again. They can what they can do is wait, download the archive, just slow it fast forward.
That's what I had to remind Jeff about.
we were talking to Jeff earlier, tell him.
Well, he's sitting there saying, you know, I maybe should get Jesse to, tape on the show. You know, could you ask him to do that? Jeff, you can go to our archives.
Oh, that's right.
They're all...
I'm taping the show as we speak.
They're all there. And we have many listeners who only listen to show in the archives, like Black and Tan and Shane from Northcote and people like that who are all
slightly out of
radio
range.
Slightly out of radio range in Australia. So we have this contingent now, the Oz contingent, that we're working on.
In Jeff's defense, though, I got to put up that he's been busy. They're expecting their second child in just a couple months.
Yes.
So he's been quite busy with
that. Hasn't been busy lately. Never mind. Never mind.
No, you don't want to go there.
The news now. Yeah. I think that would be bad. Let's start with... Dave.
Well, I can almost take this.
It's been nice working with you guys.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
And play this each week. You know, I mean, it's a new year, and of course, these folks with no lives, as I say, week after week, are creating more and more viruses just to do more and more damages. They really should see a good psychiatrist.
Being a bad psychiatrist.
You know, I was arguing with a couple other folks, what? Oh, they do it just to be malicious. I think there's the gratification that they created it, but still the bottom line is they don't get paid for it. They derive no pay or...
The reality is there are people who go out and build great bridges. There are other people who go out and paint their names on great bridges.
Yeah.
you got to just pick your place in society and live there. And these guys live at underneath the bottom rung.
And again, there's a couple big ones out there right now. We've seen the bugbear is still out there pretty bad. The Yaha.
Yaha!
Still seeing a lot of that. And there's the MyLife.a and the SoBig. And again, these are just massive emailing programs, folks. And, this past Saturday we were at Green Shields, I heard at least two or three folks say to me,
well, I don't open anything from folks I don't know.
And I just turned to him and said, well, you're hosed.
That's not good enough anymore.
Yeah, that is what they're relying on.
I don't open any emails.
Because these viruses literally go into your Outlook Express, look at your whole email list, and mail it out courtesy of you. So if you're on my emailing list, you'd get an email from me, and it would sit there and say, oh, from Dave Edner. Oh, I know him. They go ahead and do it, thinking it's safe to do, open the attachment and everything else, and bam, they've got the virus.
Yep.
So again, two things you have to have if you're going to be on the internet, especially with either DSL, Roadrunner, or any of the fast ones, is definitely a firewall. And even for dial-up, now I'll add those folks in, you've got to have an antivirus software. That's like playing Russian roulette, and it's just when you're going to put that gun...
With an automatic weapon.
Yeah. You're going to put that gun to that machine, and it's just literally going to blow up. You're going to lose a lot of data, a lot of information, and then it's going to be too late.
Yep.
So, update.
I think we can take that away from us, with us, from us, around us.
Gross.
Over, under, around. Okay, it's time for the Macintosh News.
Well,
Mr. Stephen Ray, take it away, Steve.
In the continuing argument between intellectual property rights and the people's desires to
steal music.
Yeah.
That's a light way to point
out. Yeah. Apple this week, Apple Legal sent a cease and desist order notifying the developer James Speth that he was violating his software license agreement because he wrote a plugin for iTunes that would let other people see your music files. Basically what Kazaa and Napster used to be and all the peer-to-peer sharing programs do now, most of which are distributing illegally obtained or illegal distribution of music. So this this guy had written a program that allowed iTunes to do the same thing. So they sent him a cease and desist, and he promptly removed the program from the internet. But it's generated...
Yeah, it was out there for 4 minutes, and they think they can stop it now?
Well, one of the things that the articles haven't been saying is how long it was out before Apple noticed it.
Yeah.
So it is still available if you dig in the deep archives of some of the bigger search engines.
I can have about 5 minutes if you'd like it.
Yeah. What's interesting is that it sparked a huge wave in the online forums about intellectual property rights and, you know, what did the guy do wrong and why can't I steal my music and the records cost too much anyway. And so all that mess started out. But then one guy pointed out an interesting point that at last Macworld, I think it was June, Steve Jobs and Phil Schiller showed off iTunes using Rendezvous, which is their zero configuration networking protocol, so that someone else could play music from your computer. They weren't actually downloading it to their computer. They were streaming it from the first computer. So you weren't running into much of the violation. Well, still a gray area about having it on another computer.
Yeah, it's gray enough to be black, if you ask me.
It was playing on another computer. It didn't actually exist on the other computer, and it didn't save it into a file, and you couldn't save it as a file. So it was an interesting technology that they showed off a year ago, but haven't brought it out as an actual product yet, probably because of the potential issues in piracy and intellectual property rights. So it's interesting to see what the market's going to do, and the new Digital Millennium Copyright Act is going through Congress now, which will severely limit what the publishers have to do into their computers. They'll have to put recording bits in their computer to make sure that it's legal.
We should mention the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the DMCA. It is an act going through Congress right now that will, as Steve said, severely curtail your rights to music, video, and pretty much anything.
Seriously.
There's
Lexmark.
Right. Lexmark is using the DMCA to prevent other companies from making cartridges, replacement cartridges.
Not even that bad, from refilling these original
Lexmark cartridges. That's exactly right. Using the Digital Millennium Copyright Act for that. And there's a newer and an even more draconian, as they say, version going through Congress right now. So if, in fact, you want to play music and you want to retain the rights you think you have today, your best bet is to write to your congressperson now and not wait and not email them, but write them, because letters still count for a lot more than email. write to your congressperson and tell them that you are against the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, because it is only if millions and millions and millions of us do that that we will, in fact, be able to stop it.
To have the rights to the stuff that we want. I mean, seriously. I listen to my own music. I'm not into, because of the taste of music I have, I don't find anything on the online sites.
Right.
But I want to burn copies of my CDs, bring them to work with me, listen to them on something like that.
Okay.
I will not be able to.
I own every CD I have. I suppose that's an odd way to put that. But if I want to burn them, if I want to rip them now and listen to them on my computer, I kind of can do that now. That's semi-okay. It will not be okay if the new DMCA passes. And in fact, new CD burners or CD players will prevent you from doing that in hardware.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want that, you need to write to your congressperson now. Sorry.
He's good.
That's how you really feel, yeah.
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 I'm all for copyright. I run AskNick.com, and I send out 3 things a week and answer lots of questions that are all in the newspaper and everything else. It's all copyrighted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of copyright, but my copyright is limited to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot pass it on. In fact, I had someone ask me for the first time. I've been running AskNick for how many years now? For the first time this week, somebody actually wrote to me and said, I'd really like to pass this information on to my relatives. May I? I was shocked. I was flabbergasted.
And you said yes.
Yes, of course I said yes, but I got asked.
And that's what usually happens. If you ask for permission, it's usually given.
That's exactly right. I know for a fact that there are those of you out there who pass on my stuff to dozens and hundreds of other people because I've accidentally been put on those lists.
By viruses.
You have to be not particularly bright to send me back my own copyrighted material with a whole bunch of other people in the mailing list. That's stupidity. Gotta be completely honest.
Mental magic.
And that's theft, you know? But if you ask me, mm-hmm. I suspect I will say yes.
Yeah, or you could do what I do with stuff. I have copyrighted content out on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
What I just use a modification of the GPL license.
Right.
You're free to distribute, use whatever, as long as this copyright remains intact.
Right.
You know, I have no problem with that.
Right, but the point is, right, and that's your copyright. I'm under the regular copyright right at the moment, and all I'm doing is asking people to ask me.
Yeah.
I just want to know where it's going. That's all.
Yeah, it gets a little different when there's money involved. If you're if you're getting something
I get paid.
Right, if you're getting something that someone else paid for and you didn't, it's illegal.
Right. Right. Tony?
Yes. In the news that nobody's really heard of, Computer Associates, which you really don't recognize, but it's the second largest software company in the world next to our friends out in Redmond. They're known as being a very conservative bunch, and they're finally getting into the realization that Linux is not only ready for the enterprise, but it is the enterprise. They're releasing agents for ArcServe 9, which is probably the best enterprise-level backup software out there, to talk to Linux and MySQL databases natively. For those of you who don't do any kind of development, the LAMP initiative, Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP, is possibly the best and fastest way for developing rapid applications on the network. And it's used on approximately, oh God, every Apache server.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. It just
Apache runs on what, 54% of the internet?
74.
Excuse me.
I'm running it on my computer now. Tony's got it on his computer.
Yeah, yeah.
Nick, you got Apache on yours yet?
No, I don't.
No,
run
it's on your
web server.
It's on your Zayas.
Yeah. It's exactly right. It is on my Zorus.
And
MySQL is on my Zorus.
That's frightening. Yeah, I've actually got a MySQL client on my palm. It's ridiculous. I wirelessly manage my database from home. There's something wrong with that.
Yes, sir. Yes.
But anyhow, Computer Associates is some serious, serious new tools, enterprise level. They're unicenter management for IBM's WebSphere. Everything that for the internet, for the Java beans, their Computer Associates is one of the heavy Java developers in the world. It's just, you know, people are finally, the conservative businesses are finally realizing how it's important. One other thing on the sad note, Mandrake Soft, the makers and distributors of the Mandrake distribution of Linux, filed for the French equivalent of Chapter 11.
No kidding.
Last week, yeah. Basically, the reasoning behind it is they had signed a bunch of, this is what my understanding, it signed a bunch of contracts for education purposes. And a lot of people they signed the contracts with either went belly up or out of business, and they got caught in the people had bought their assets and were demanding payment on that contract, so doing things. So
now remember, Chapter 11 is protection from creditors,
right? And I,
it
I
is during not shutting doors bankruptcy, right?
And I don't, it's French bankruptcy law because Mandrake's office is French, and it's, it may be different. I don't pretend to be a lawyer. I don't even play one on radio. and I don't run Mandrake. It's not my preferred distribution, but they've. For a power user desktop, it's a very nice environment, and I here's to hoping they come back.
Exactly. Now you're running Gen 2 now.
On one of my machines, I'm running Gen 2. My production boxes run Red Hat.
Of course. But did you start with level 1 or whatever they call it?
Oh yeah.
Step 1 or whatever, and just
one floppy. Yeah, you download and compile your compiler, and then you compile your kernel, and then you compile your images.
I was looking at that and thinking, yeah, at some point you recompile a kernel, and that's what you've been trying to get me to do forever.
Oh, no, it's
like a pusher. Every time I talk to him, have you recompiled a kernel? Yes, it's really easy.
Here's a free sample. Try it. You'll like
it.
Make MR proper.
Yeah, well, no, it's better than that. You compile the compiler first.
right, you have to compile the compiler. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Jesse Graff, and me, Nick Francesco, on the universe's greatest computer show, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Greenfield Computer Services, located at 1370 Hudson Avenue, just off the 104 Expressway, is now offering basic system boxes starting at $399 and up. Just add the software and accessories you want for a total system. Come visit our new computer sales and service area to find out what your system will need to be ready for the future. Call Greenfield Computers at 1-800-544-9580 right now for an appointment to evaluate your current computer for just $25. The window of opportunity to upgrade your older machine is rapidly shrinking as many parts are no longer being made. That's Greenfield Computer Services at 544-9580. Open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday to serve your computer needs. You can also email them at shield@frontiernet.net anytime. The charter sponsor of Soundbites, Green Shield is a local full-service computer firm assisting individuals and businesses since 1984 and is a Corral approved partner for business, education, government, legal, and individuals. It is a part of the Green Shield Group established in 1967. That's Green Shield Computer Services at 1370 Hudson Avenue in Rochester, New York. Call 544-9580 for any computer needs.
This is Governor George Pataki. We all want the best for our parents and our grandparents. We want them to be healthy so they can enjoy the best things in life, like travel, hobbies, and spending time with their grandchildren. That's where New York's EPIC program can help. EPIC is New York's prescription drug program, helping seniors across New York get the medicines they need to live longer, healthier lives. Now we've made EPIC even better, so more than 200,000 seniors can get the drugs they need. EPIC can save seniors more than $1,700 a year on their prescription medicines. Just listen to Katharina Roberts of Manhattan.
Find out if you're eligible. It's very easy to do. There's a wonderful 800 number for EPIC. Call them, find out. Join it by all means, because it can be literally a lifesaver.
So why not look into EPIC, either for yourself or for someone you care about, today? To learn more, call 1-800-332-3742. That's 1-800-332-3742.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
And now the forecast for Rochester and the outlying regions.
There isn't much we can do about the weather, but there's a lot we can do when it comes to our way of life.
A spectacular weekend ahead.
The public market, family-friendly museums, art walk, cold rush. There's always something fun for the kids.
Continued warmth.
We take care of each other, too. Each person gives more to charity per capita than any other place in the country. Right, Mom?
Right, honey. But I think you mean per capita.
And two fronts collide tonight.
Red Wings, Nighthawks, Hammerks, Rhinos. Whatever sport you're into, we've got it.
So next time someone from out of town asks you, how's the weather?
Tell them, actually, the climate's perfect.
Because the most important climate in Rochester is the one we make together.
Check out RochesterMadeForLiving.com to find out more.
America's longest-running computer radio show is brought to you by the Alamon K. Learning Center.
MicroWorks Direct Computer, Roadrunner Business Class, and Greenfield Computer Services. Contact the guys the old-fashioned way. Use your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Priscilla.
And I'm Jesse Graff.
And this is Soundbites. We'll get to the phones in just a moment, but I want to talk about what the thing we'll be talking about later in the poll. It is the Microsoft Trustworthy Computing Initiative. It has been a year since Bill Gates called for Microsoft to make its products more trustworthy. The company spent millions to train staff in privacy concerns and secure programming while building new tools and processes to help create reliable software. But Microsoft's own executives said much more work remains. Scott Charney, who's the chief security strategist for Microsoft, says, "We said that trustworthy computing is a 10-year product, sort of like President Kennedy sending people to the moon. Remember going to the moon? We used to do that back in the 60s. We're only a year into it. We want to get to a point where the end user says, I trust this technology, my privacy is protected, and it is reliable." You know, I got to tell you, Microsoft has delayed Windows Server 2003 number of times? Yeah. Three times, as a matter of fact. And the delays have been attributed at least in part to additional cautions being taken by Microsoft programmers to guarantee the operating system security. To its credit, Microsoft has shown no qualms about choosing security over the bottom line for Windows development. The company essentially halted the product development early last year while 8,500 developers were trained in secure programming and then vetted with the majorities of, and then went back and vetted Windows. The Windows code, theoretically. But don't shake your head. I don't know that. The total price tag is about $100 million, according to company executives.
I want to see how they spent 1 month doing that.
Yeah.
1 month doing that. I want to see, and I don't care if it's 8,500 developers, how they are going to audit all the code when the kernel for NT is what? Just the kernel is 25 megs.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then all the application layer stuff. You know, I'm sorry, but the numbers don't work.
Yeah, yeah. There are four legs to the security initiative, trustworthy computing. There's security, privacy, reliability, and business integrity. Part of the problem, of course,
right,
is that over the last year, Microsoft has had a lot of very high-profile problems. People breaking in and stealing Hotmail passwords about a week after the Trustworthy Computing Initiative came to the, you know, was announced and things like that. So we'll get to our poll in a little while, but it asks about how you feel about trustworthy computing. Microsoft is paying a lot of service to this lip service. We'll see how they do in terms of getting your heart and soul behind it. But we're going to go to the phones now. People have been waiting a very long time, and we completely appreciate that they have been waiting. Our first caller is Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Well, I don't have a question this time. I just want to tell you, Nick, that you are as nice in person as you are on the radio.
Well, thank you, Linda.
I met you last Saturday for the first time, and, you know, you sat there and you talked to me like I knew what I was talking about.
Yes. Linda was one of the people who came to Green Shields last week. We were there right after the show for a couple of hours. We had a really nice time over there.
Time.
We met Linda, a very sweet lady. And,
asking questions where I wasn't sure what I was talking about, but you could decipher it and you could answer my questions.
Well, it was our pleasure. That's why we're there, Linda.
Yeah. So I don't have a question. I just wanted to say this.
That's very sweet. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have fun.
Bye.
Well, that's very nice. We're going to not just rest on our laurels, but move on to the actual problems of the world by talking to a different Linda, who's in Rochester. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Help.
Sounds like you do have a question.
Caller. Yeah.
The honeymoon is now over, Nick.
Other people have had larger problems, but I'm having trouble installing a software program, McAfee Internet Security.
Uh-huh.
Now, they advise you up front to uninstall any other antiviral programs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I had Norton Antivirus. Per your column, I also had Zone Alarm briefly just to make sure that I didn't have any viruses on the computer. I was kind of losing faith in Norton. And
Zone Alarm won't scan for viruses.
Right. No, it's for other things, but go ahead.
Okay, well, I don't know. It apparently was some kind of a problem, but I've uninstalled all that stuff.
Right.
And the software doesn't finish installing. It gets to the last page and won't do anything. When I try to go online to register it, same thing. It does nothing. So I contacted McAfee, those online folks, and they had me uninstall the software, which it wouldn't do because it didn't think it was installed.
Right.
So then they had me, let's see, I went through several online chats with them. So I think they had me go through the registry and take it apart, take it off of there. And then I could reinstall it.
Mm-hmm.
And I reinstalled it, and it still comes back to just not doing anything on
Linda,
the final page.
One question for you.
Sure.
Now, you said you had Norton on there before.
Right.
And was that up to date?
Yeah,
or was it
pretty much up to date?
Pretty much, or had it elapsed for a couple of months or so?
Well, it's
there's no scale here. When you're talking about antivirus software, it is or it ain't.
Well, I update it pretty much every time I go online.
Mm-hmm. And when you uninstalled Norton, had you, was it still up to date then? You know, pretty much, within a week or so.
Probably within a week or so. I was kind of losing faith because it was an older version. They would still provide the updates, but I...
You know one thing I would suggest you do?
What's that?
Go back to the McAfee website. Or McAfee, you can go to our website.
Yeah.
Go, scroll down to... I heard about this website on your show.
Yeah.
And
there's a link on the page down the lower right.
It'll take you to another page. Scroll down, and you're going to want to download Stinger.
I did that, too.
And you ran that already?
Wasn't that the one, Nick, you mentioned that in your column going back about
yes.
a month?
Yes.
Yeah, I took that out, too.
Did you download it and try running it?
Yes, I did.
And
when it was in the column, I did that.
Okay, there's a new version.
Yeah, there's a new
version. With more things that it finds.
January 8th is the latest version.
Yeah.
One of the problems with some of the newer viruses out there is a couple of them, and my father got caught with this, is they stop any antivirus programs from running.
Or installing.
I've seen that. I had a friend with a virus.
You might want to get the updated version of Stinger and try running it, because they added Yaha and a couple other viruses now to that list, and see if there's still something there that might have been, still causing issues.
Okay.
And then try reinstalling McAfee.
Otherwise, the PC is running fine. I just can't get this new software on it.
Right. Try that and let us know what happens.
Call us back next week and let us know, please.
Alrighty.
Okey-doke.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. That's becoming more prevalent.
Yeah.
If you get one of those viruses, you cannot uninstall or install... do anything. I'm surprised the folks at McAfee didn't know that and tell her more about that. But
at least they didn't tell her to put in the system disk and wind up wiping out her OS.
Yeah. Our next caller is Don, patiently sitting on the side of the road talking on a cell phone. Welcome, Don.
Yes, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Great, fantastic. Question I have revolves around memory. My father, my brother-in-law, and I all have the same exact computer. It's a Dell Dimension. We're running Windows 98 Second Edition. And I tried to install some SD RAM in our computers, and it went in fine in mine and my brother-in-law's. But my father's, he gets up to 96 megabytes and stops. We're running PC 66, and we each have three slots. And, we took, 3 32s and put it in his, and we took, 364s. We did all the differences between all our computers to make sure they're all running. And his is the only one that gets up to 95, no matter what configuration we use, and it stops.
You might have a bad DIMM slot.
Well, we checked that. We installed, 3 32s in his, mm-hmm. and it still went up to 95.
Well, it could be the slot itself in the computer.
Yeah, the slot.
What he's saying is... He put in a bunch of 32 meg things, so he was in that bad slot.
Yeah. We all had three slots, and I took three 32s and put it in his, and it got up to 95. So that tells me all the slots are working.
Are these all PC 100s or PC 133s?
No, they're PC 66. The memory we're putting in is PC 66.
One of the problems that you run into with Dell and Gateway and the big names like that. Is even though you might have the same model computer, they
the
all might contain different components inside.
Okay. And different motherboards.
Right. So you could have a different motherboard on that machine that requires different kinds of RAM.
Or a BIOS upgrade.
Or a BIOS upgrade.
What
if you go in...
Me,
Well, so if you, if you go to the Dell website and put in the service code on the back of the computer.
Yes, I did that, and I got a new BIOS for his computer, but haven't tried it. They said that you got to get a new BIOS. We started out with Windows 95, and then we installed Windows 98, and they said that there's a different BIOS for Windows 98, and I got that on the floppy, and they said if I try booting it up with that floppy to do it, but I wanted to call you guys to make sure that that was a good idea.
That's what you need to do. Yeah. If they've given you that, it's I'm sure they led you to the right BIOS flash for your machine, right?
Yep. They let me. Well, actually, it's for my father's machine.
Yeah. Right. But the point is,
tag, and they put it in a little spot for me, and I grabbed it onto a floppy, but I wanted to make sure that that was proper because
they look the same from the outside.
Yeah.
You know, like Steve was saying, coming down the assembly line, here's a case. The guy just grabs the next motherboard. And that could be the cutoff point from one revision of a motherboard to another revision of a motherboard.
That's why they do what they do by serial number.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it true that Windows 98 can only handle 256? Any more than 256 is a waste of time?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, 256 to 512, it'll understand it, but it's not efficient.
Okay.
And anything over 512, it gets really, really confused.
Okay,
so 256 is really the best amount for you.
And that's what I have. And mine and my brother-in-law's, we have two 128s, and that's what I wanted to do for him, but he gets to 95. So it looks like we're on the right track with the BIOS.
You are absolutely on the right track. Give it a shot. We are done for another few minutes. Don't go away. We've got a whole another hour or so of sound bites. But we're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Jesse Graff, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
I was just wondering how something gets certified. I've got a 3-pack of tube socks here with a sticker that says these things were inspected by Number 6. Does Number 6 have the authority to certify? Well, I don't know about that. But for a vehicle to become a certified pre-owned BMW, it must A, be a BMW, and B, get certified by an authorized BMW center. Then you know you're getting certified agility, certified grip, certified growl, certified driving purity. You're getting a BMW. Not to mention certified warranty protection for up to 6 years or 100,000 miles and certified leasing and financing options. But the only way you'll know your certified pre-owned BMW is backed by the company is to visit your authorized certified pre-owned BMW center. Protection plan provides coverage for up to 2 years or 50,000 miles, whichever comes first, from the date of the expiration of the 4-year 50,000-mile BMW new vehicle limited warranty. See participating BMW center for details.
John Holtz BMW is the only authorized dealer for certified pre-owned BMW vehicles. For more information, call 877-537-4BMW or visit John Holtz BMW today.
Hang a ceiling fan, replace the old dishwasher, replace the front door.
Ah, yes. This month's list of home improvements.
Insulate the attic, hang new blinds, paint the living room.
No matter how big or small your project, there's never been a better time than now to tackle it at the Home Depot Design Event.
Need to paint? The Home Depot can show you how in one of our free paint clinics this weekend. Our experts will show you all the latest techniques. And while you're there, choose from a wide selection of paint from great brands like Ralph Lauren, Glidden, and Behr. Plus, we bought a million cans of paint from Behr, so you save money. Right now, get $3 off each gallon of Behr 1050 Series interior flat paint. And look for other bonus buys in the paint department. Why wait? Get painting this weekend at the Home Depot Design Event. Good through January 20th, 2003. Discount taken at register. See store for details.
Hey friends, Lonsberry here. With the new year, I'd like to invite you to become a reader of my newsletter. The boss has put it out for free. You can pick it up at Best Set Tile and Hardwoods in Spencerport, Ace Window and Door in Victor, any Reed I Associates location, Thule's Okanomish Furniture in Suburban Plaza in Henrietta, and True Hearts Rug, 3400 East River Road. What's it feature? All kind of commentaries and such like that, thoughts, various foolishness from me. It's the Lonsberry Newsletter from us here at News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Your station for school and business closings and the most accurate forecast. News Radio 1180 WHAM Rochester. A Clear Channel radio station.
The
CBS News, I'm Tammy McCormick.
There has not been sufficient cooperation.
Chief UN Weapons Inspector Hans Blix a day before his visit to Baghdad. CBS News correspondent Dan Rather is in Cyprus and has spoken to Blix and Mohamed El-Baradei of the Atomic Energy Agency.
They started the day by pushing Saddam Hussein to give more cooperation and do it faster.
This is
they ended tonight with Saddam Hussein pushing back hard. It's hard to find anyone who argues that this makes war less likely.
UN weapons inspectors visited six sites in Iraq today. Of particular interest, a refrigerator truck. The Iraqis claim is used as a mobile food lab. CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer with more on its possible significance.
This is of particular interest because Iraq is known to want to develop mobile laboratories where they would develop bacterial weapons, and clearly the inspectors are sniffing around to see if this particular fridge truck might be one of those laboratories in disguise.
Inspectors also visited Baghdad University Science College. Around the world today, there were anti-war protests from Pakistan to London and in frigid Washington, D.C.
Heat up Washington!
This is Tom Foti in Washington. They carry colorful signs with equally colorful language. They chant, no war for oil, and just plain, no war. This large crowd now making its way slowly, sometimes loudly, but always peacefully, making its way from the U.S. Capitol to a nearby Navy Yard. That is the second focal point of a weekend full of anti-war activity here. A police helicopter is overhead as tens and tens of thousands march and shout, a couple of dozen abreast insisting on no war with Iraq. Tom Foti, CBS News, along the march route in Washington.
This is Ron Nasso in San Francisco, where some of the signs read, another waitress against Bush's war and endangering America, ending endangering the world. The message here?
Bush has got a war that he wants really badly. And I'm a white male, middle class. I'm not a protester. I'm not a demonstrator. I'm just here because I think he's wrong.
Thousands of people have lined the street following the march, a rally in Civic Center Plaza. Ron Nasso, CBS News, San Francisco.
Two new polls out this afternoon find the president's job approval rating is dropping at the low 60% according to Newsweek and 53% according to a Time magazine survey, which also finds more than half of Americans believe this country is in deep and serious trouble. White House insisting again today that it has no intentions of invading North Korea. South Korea's incoming president claimed just last month U.S. officials talked about an attack because of the North's nuclear activities. This is CBS News.
We know you do it. You comparison shop. You come to Travelop, check out an airfare, and then run off to see if you can find the same thing lower somewhere else. But it's okay. We don't mind. Because we also know you'll be back. Why? Because Travelocity consistently has the most low fares, making Travelocity the final destination of comparison shoppers everywhere. Travelocity. See site for details. AOL keyword travel.
Snap and chic. Plus for free. Discover it. Find it. JCPenney.
The JCPenney one day only sale this Saturday. Save 20 to 50% store wide all day. Plus take an extra 10% off already reduced sale prices. Or an extra 15% when you use your JCPenney card. Doors open early, 9 a.m. with incredible doorbuster deals till 1. The JCPenney one day only sale this Saturday. JCPenney. It's on a regular price. Saturday, January 18th only.
The news you need, the information that's critical. Hear it first, fast and factual. News Radio 1180, WHAM.
If ever a tire clearance event deserved to be called spectacular, this is it. Today, Sunday and Monday, get to Goodyear Auto Service Centers for their annual January Tire Clearance Spectacular. We're up to sell 10,000 tires, and you have only three more days to save.
That's spectacular.
All tires in every store are clearance priced. Save big on brand names like Dunlop, Goodyear, and Republic lines of tires. All season tires, like truck, SUV tires, all clearance priced. Still need snow tires? Well, those are clearance priced also. If you own your own car, we have a tire for you at a great price. Ask our store manager how you can save an additional $20 to $40 when you put your tire purchase on our Goodyear credit card. Plus, ask about 90 days same as cash.
Wow, I need tires.
There's only only three more days to save. Every tire in every Goodyear Auto Service Center is clearance price. All stores open special hours today till 5, Sunday till 4 p.m. And sale ends Monday by 10 p.m. So get on over to Goodyear today, because who wants to be slipping and sliding while driving this winter when you can have a new set of Goodyear, Dunlop, or Republic tires at super savings prices? So if you're looking for great prices and brand names to choose from, get on down to your Goodyear Auto Service Center today.
Checking WHAM's radar weather from News Source 13 for today. Breezy, sunny, and a bit warmer than this morning. A high temperature reaching 23. For tonight, increasing clouds with snow showers developing after midnight, a low of 13. For tomorrow, windy and cloudy with snow showers, likely a high of 23. For Monday, cold, clouds, windy, and snow showers once again, a high of 18, a low of 2. And for Tuesday, remaining very cold and windy with some snow possible, a high only of 10, a low of 5 below.
Cool Mint Listerine Mouthwash. Its active ingredients kill germs to fight plaque buildup for a cleaner, healthier mouth.
Running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
You know, there's got to be some digital way they can smooth that back out again.
No, that's character. It's been with us now for well over a year.
That's exactly right. We don't want it. You're right. We don't want it.
That's the thing, true and steadfast. You know,
whatever goes away, we won't know what to do. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Pulsillo.
And I'm Jesse Graff.
And you are listening to Sound Bites. We'll get back to the phones in just a minute, but first we want to talk a little bit about our polls. Every week we have a poll on our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like me to remind you. Last week's poll, 357 of you voted for it, which makes it our number four top all-time poll. Number one is from Abner Kravitz. Number two from Kenny Cooper. Excuse me, Ken Cooper. I apologize, Kenny. He's older now. He prefers Ken to Kenny. Number three is from me, and number four is from Argyle. And Argyle asked us, how many viruses does your antivirus software detect each week? And 49% of you said none, and I have a PC. That either means that your antivirus software didn't detect it or you're not running antivirus software. 22% of you said 1 to 5. 13% of you said none. I surf naked, which means you have no idea. Well, yeah, you're a Linux guy, so that's exactly right.
Now, there is one Linux virus, isn't there?
No, there's no Linux viruses. There are Linux Trojans and worms, but not viruses. Not big deal.
Right. 10% of you said none, and I have a Mac. 5% of you said more than 10, and 3% of you said 6 to 10. This week's poll has to do with the story I talked about earlier, Microsoft's Trustworthy Computing Initiative. Do you feel that, in fact, Microsoft is trustworthy? Yes or no? It's a real simple question. So far, 91 of you have voted. When you're done voting, click on the Give Us Your Opinion link. Head on over to my website, asknick.com, and drop in your opinion. Those of you who've been putting your opinions in for a while and reading them know that the usual list of suspects have already been in there with the stinking this and this. You kidding me, Kenny Wright? And no, I'm not kidding from Ken. And it's the same old, same old. It wouldn't be right without the first dozen or so of them being there.
First post.
First post. That usually is 10 every week. I think it just stays up till 10 after 12 and puts that in.
Wait, but please, the timestamp is 00.
Yes, because the machine, the machine that Ask Nick is on is about 10 minutes behind. Right. I talked to Jerry about that.
Well, then the next one is at 001.
Right.
So right exactly at midnight he got in.
Right, exactly. So the
poll
is there. He's young. You can't get out. He's, what, 14? He's not allowed out yet.
Yeah, but
I don't even know what he's doing up at midnight.
That's what I mean.
He needs to be in bed by midnight.
That's what I mean. If he's out during the evening up until, say, 9 o'clock or so, by 10 o'clock should be his bedtime.
You should be in bed.
So he's
well rested.
Maybe he is.
Oh, his computer's in his bed? Sure. Hey, you never know. That's exactly right. All right. We won't go there.
Well, after you have voted in the poll.
That's right. After you have voted in the poll, you'll be able to see all the other very cool stuff on the Soundbites website. But don't leave the computer room now, because we're going to go back to the phones. Or the computer room.
Don't leave the radio
now, because we're going to go back to the phones and talk to Warren from Penfield. Welcome, Warren. What's your question?
Hi, everyone. Great
show. How
are
you? Thank you.
I got a couple of problems, but downloading from Microsoft for XP, getting the updates and all, which they have many, many of them, and in the downloading box, you know, it says downloading progress, and it goes through all of the
right.
Thing across there, and then the next one is installing progress.
Right.
Now, do you have to keep your computer on for the install? I mean, on the internet for the installing progress?
No. Well, sometimes you do, yes.
Yeah, sometimes you do.
Oh.
Yes, you should, because sometimes what it does is it installs a piece, goes out and finds another piece, installs that. Leave it online until... Are you on dial-up?
Yes.
Yeah. Leave it online until it actually finishes the update.
And tells you that it has to restart the computer.
Right.
Yeah, okay, because a lot of times I put in, you know, it had like 14... things in there, and didn't download about five of them, but yet I saw them go on each of the downloading screen and then the installing screen. I saw those titles go across, and then it tells the end you gotta do them again. And I don't understand that. That's happened quite a bit lately.
Well yeah, because if you were offline when it was trying to install those, it may have needed to go get another piece.
Especially on a dial-up, which will take a very long time to download the files, and there's a bigger chance it will get interrupted during the download.
Right.
Except I had 3.4 megabytes yesterday, and it was less than a minute going on, but the installing was 25 minutes. And then still those didn't install, and I was very... frustrated.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, sometimes it just downloads a couple hundred K or a meg, what they call installer stub, and then it runs and downloads the rest of the real file.
That it needs.
Which could take
so
forever.
It might not have fully gotten everything it needed. So when you restarted, you know, that package didn't that one service pack didn't get installed or updated.
Okay. Now, do you have to sign on as the manager or supervisor, whatever it is, for some of these things, and how do you do that?
You have to either be the administrator or the power user.
And usually, if you've set up no other users, you're the only one.
I'm the owner and everything else.
Then you are the administrator.
Oh.
Yeah, if you don't create a limited user, then there aren't any.
Oh, okay.
By default, you are the administrator.
Right.
Because that comes up every once in a while when I'm downloading something.
Right? Yeah, if it wants to know... If it needs to know the administrator password to authenticate that you have the right to install this, it will ask you.
Oh, so then you give your regular password on that.
If you are the administrator.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, limited users are convenient if you have, smaller children in the house.
Yeah.
You can give them access to their programs without the possibility of leaking into your data files and that's a trash can. Let me drag this, Windows folder into the trash.
For those of you who have children and you're constantly worried about them downloading and installing stuff, making them a limited user prevents that. They can still download to their own area, but they can't install anything.
Oh, well, I don't have children here, so I'm...
Right, but for everybody else listening.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Our next caller, Lori from Kendall. Welcome, Lori. What's your question?
I hope I explained the question to you properly. This is what I'm dealing with. A Micron computer, it's got Windows 95 on it, and I know that's old and everything, but that's what we have right now. And we want to use a dial-up for the Internet. Everything goes smoothly when installing the disk and blah, blah, blah. So you get to the screen where it asks for your password, and then you click connect. It prompts you right back to the password, erases your asterisks, and doesn't allow you to do it. So making sure the modem and everything was okay. On someone's advice, what we were told to do is go to the Windows setup and erase communications, put the Microsoft Windows CD in, and redo that. We did it once, and it worked. We got online, everything was fine. And then because of voicemail problems and all that, we got booted off. And now it's not letting me do it. And what I'm getting when I try to click, do you know what I mean when I say to unclick communications and then you hit have disk? When you try to unclick communications, it says disconnect and disable and blah, blah, blah. That's where I'm not sure what to do. And if that's Well, it did work once already, so I'm hoping that is the problem with it.
Well, there's a couple of issues it could be. The first of which is when it asks for your password, you need to put in your internet password, not your Windows password.
Right.
Yes.
And, your internet username.
Yes. Yeah, that we've been past that because we did get online, so I know that those things all work at one time.
And one of the other things you might want to double check, too, is if you go into the control panel, and you'll see an icon underneath there, in there called networking.
Yep.
And if you scroll down that little white window in there, and you'll see one that says TCP/IP.
Say that again, TC.
TCP slash IP.
Okay.
If you click on that and then check the properties.
Okay.
Make sure, I think it's the 95.
Dial-up adapter?
No, I'm concerned about her making sure it's using DHCP.
Well, I think she's even a little past
that. Yeah,
because
we've been...
Just to verify it, though, she's uninstalled and reinstalled,
yeah.
And now it's gotten messed up.
There's another problem that you may be having. There is a patch for Windows 95 called the Dial-Up Networking 1.3 patch.
Okay. Up to 1.4 now, I think.
Yes, you're right. I think
we found that a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Okay, and this is like a fix?
Yeah, it's done 1.4, DUN 1.4. Is that already on the website?
I think so. I'm checking now.
Okay. If it's not, we'll put it there shortly. And what you need to do is...
Well, wait. If she's not online, she can't get it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
what I
that.
Wanted... Really, what the question is, for right now anyway, is the warning or whatever that I get says disconnect all the connections, disable dial-up server, close all dial-up networking windows, and try again. And we...
Lori,
yes.
One thing you might, well, to answer your question before we go on, just disconnect.
What do you mean disconnect? Oh, that's what I
that's one of the choices, right?
Pardon me?
That's one of the choices?
Yeah, but I'm not sure how to do that.
It's an informational error.
Right.
Right. It basically it says, I can't get to the internet. I don't know what's wrong. You should try all of these 1,000 things. And that basically means that you want to make sure your computer's plugged in, your modem's plugged in, the phone line's plugged in.
That's the warning I get when I'm trying to remove communication so I can reinstall it with the...
Lori, one thing I would recommend is if you've got a friend with a computer that's got online service, go over to their house, take a floppy disk, and go to our website, and you scroll down on the right-hand side, you'll see a thing that says, I heard about this website on your show.
Okay.
Click on that, you'll see the list, and we will have that listed there. And download it and copy it to a floppy. Take it on hold before doing anything else and see if this kind of corrects the issue for you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where you should start.
Okay.
If that doesn't do it, then uninstall everything and reinstall it again. But keep that dial-up networking thing there for yourself so that you can reinstall it again.
Okay.
And Steve's looking, I believe, on the website now to see if it's there.
It's there. It's 1.8 megs. It won't fit on a floppy. Wonderful.
You need to find somebody who can burn CDs.
Oh, I can do that.
There you go.
Okay.
So go to their house, grab it. Download it, burn it, bring it home, install it, you're done.
Good.
Hang on to that CD, don't throw it away.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And you're welcome. And you need to know that of course, Windows 95 might not be where you want to be too much longer, since it's completely out of support now. There's no more support for it.
From Microsoft.
These programs that we're asking you to download, they may not be up there too much longer. There's no promise that Microsoft will keep things like the dial-up networking 1.4 update available.
Try to find a WinSock for Windows 3.1.1.
Is kind of stupid on their part because, I can see both sides. It doesn't take any effort to leave it on the website, but when someone calls in with a problem, there's their problem.
Right, and they don't want to support it. They don't want
to
provide any security updates or any of that stuff, and they don't make any money if you don't update.
We should have, reversed the order, Nick. Let's be real honest. They want...
The money's the first one.
If you look at their last SEC filing, we're going to take a break in a second, but if you look at their last SEC filing, they make a buttload of money on their operating system and on Office, everything else they do, MSN, everything else, bleeds money like you wouldn't believe. If it weren't for the operating systems and
Office.
Office, they would be bankrupt. So they need you to update. It's important to them. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Jesse Graff, me, Nick Francesco, all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
News Radio 1180. WHAM.
Join News Radio 1180 WHAM for the Susan B. Anthony Birthday Luncheon, Thursday, February 13th at the Rochester Riverside Convention Center. Hear from White House correspondent Helen Thomas, who's covered every president since JFK. Thomas will sign copies of her book, Thanks for the Memories, Mr. President. Individual tickets can be purchased at all Wegmans home video departments. For table reservations, call 279-7490. The Susan B. Anthony Birthday Luncheon, Thursday, February 13th, sponsored by Unity Health System and News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Greenfield Computer Services, located at 1370 Hudson Avenue, just off the 104 Expressway, is now offering basic system boxes starting at $399 and up. Just add the software and accessories you want for a total system. Come visit our new computer sales and service area to find out what your system will need to be ready for the future. Call Greenfield Computers at 1-800-544-9580 right now for an appointment to evaluate your current computer for just $25. The window of opportunity to upgrade your older machine is rapidly shrinking as many parts are no longer being made. That's Green Shield Computer Services at 544-9580. Open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday to serve your computer needs. You can also email them at shield@frontiernet.net anytime. The charter sponsor of Soundbites, Green Shield is a local full-service computer firm assisting individuals and businesses since 1984 and is a Corral approved partner for business, education, government, legal, and individuals. It is a part of the Green Shield Group established in 1967. That's Green Shield Computer Services at 1370 Hudson Avenue in Rochester, New York. Call 544-9580 for any computer needs.
County Clerk Maggie Brooks.
I'm honored that Governor Pataki appointed me to his task force on local government reform. I've been proud to share many success stories from Monroe County that include some pioneer efforts from my office, such as the County Clerk's mobile service and Internet records access. And Monroe County's leadership in local government cooperation and consolidation of services is a benchmark for other communities throughout the state. Here in Monroe County, we embrace innovation and reform, and we're leading the way in New York State.
Paid for by the Monroe County Republican Committee.
Hi, this is Dimitri Genetis from Haldane Associates. Attention, job hunters. If you're looking for a permanent position or a part-time opportunity, then make plans now to attend the Career Channel Job Fair, sponsored by Rochester Career Highway, Tuesday, January 21st, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Irondequoit Mall.
You'll meet representatives from many of the area's top companies who are searching for qualified candidates to fill immediate openings, including the Center for Workforce Development, Visiting Nurse Service, Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and Bernard Haldane Associates.
Don't miss the Clear Channel Job Fair, Tuesday, January 21st at Irondequoit Mall.
Wherever Jack Welsh goes, he means business. If you're serious about yours, you'll be there February 7th when he comes to Rochester. Get tickets to Ticketmaster locations or online at Ticketmaster.com.
Computer talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Yes, that's right. Nick Francesco is here. I'm him.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Placilla.
And I am Jesse Graff.
Yes, he is. And we collectively are Soundbites. We didn't mention this earlier, but Dr. Placilla is our Linux
guru.
The man who knows everything about Linux. So we should, if you have a Linux question, try to call in. Just try, I dare you. Before we get back to the phones, we are going to, we do take mail on our website, Soundbites, that's bites with a Y, .org. Dave from Marmora, Ontario, Canada.
International again.
Marmora or Marmora? Marmora.
Either or.
I don't care. Right. Enjoy listening to your show on Saturdays. I heard this guy who has some CPM discs. I have an old system with 2 8-inch drives and a 5 1/4. I am a long ways away from there, but if you're desperate, drop me a line and I'll see if it will still run. Also, I used to have a utility run under DOS, which would read CPM discs, but they would have to be 5 1/4 since I don't know if DOS ever ran an 8-inch. discs. Certainly not Microsoft's version of... Oh, yes, it did.
Yeah,
in fact, I had several 8-inch...
Yeah, sure, 8088.
That's exactly right. But Dave, what you have to do is send us your email address, because the email address is hidden here. So you need to send me nick@asknick.com. Send me your email address so I'll have it if, in fact, the guy from last week actually calls in about the CPM discs. We're going to go back to the phones and talk to Sue from Hilton. Welcome, Sue. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
My first question is, in order to download an update for Windows XP off the Internet,
mm-hmm.
the first thing they tell me to do is to close my antivirus program. And I'm not comfortable doing it. I'm not sure if I should do that or not.
It's not exactly to download the file. It's to install the update. The
mm-hmm.
problem is sometimes installers give a false positive, false negative, in the antivirus program. The antivirus sees an installer running and says, oh, wait a minute, this is a virus,
mm-hmm.
and stops it from installing.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a risky issue that the installer has to run. It has to do things that viruses also do. Most of the modern antivirus programs are smart enough to recognize it's an installer that's supposed to be working and not the characteristics of a real virus. So you can pretty much ignore that.
Okay.
Turn off your antivirus these days.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to know, because I'm up to date with Norton Antivirus, and I get the updates off the Internet, you know, every two or three
right.
times.
Back with Windows 95, especially, and some on 98, there were a number of times that you literally had to shut down everything in the taskbar for a new program to install, or otherwise it would sit there and hiccup and either destroy the machine or lock it up or cause the program not to install correctly. But for the most part, XP has corrected that issue.
But I should be okay then if I leave the
yep.
antivirus running.
You got it.
Okay, then another problem I'm having lately is I've been using a search engine on Windows XP, and where a little doggy comes out wagging his tail.
Yeah.
And lately, all I'm getting is... sorry, unable to establish a connection, redial. But yet, at the same time, I can use the search engine on my home page, and I don't get that message. But I haven't been able to use the search engine at all from that from XP.
What are you trying to find through that search engine?
Oh, various things. I can try to find anything. I couldn't find it.
Well, what I mean is when you run it, there are different things you can be searching for.
Right.
So the question is, are you trying to find files and folders on your drive?
No, I'm trying to find something on the Internet. Let's say merchandise. Let's say, just for example, I'm trying to find steak knives or something, or I'm trying to find Bed Bath & Beyond or something like that.
Right.
Okay. I'm just trying to find, like, a website or trying to find some merchandise. Just about anything.
Right. If you plug in another search engine, say you go to Google.
Right.
And you plug in Google, does that work?
You know what? I am able to get Google. I don't know why. Is this just www.google.com?
Yeah.
Google.com.
G-O-O-G-L.
Or Yahoo. Don't misspell that.
Okay. G-O-O-G-L-E, right?
Right.
Yeah, there are...
don't misspell it. Just trust it.
Just don't trust it. Just trust it.
Yahoo is another one that you can do quite a bit of searching on.
But here's the deal. When you try to search on the Internet with the internal search engine...
Right.
It uses Google.
Okay.
Or Dogpile or...
Well, but you can set it up to use... But by default, it uses Google.
Right. Okay.
Because I have a default installation here, and it's set to Google.
Yeah, okay. But now every single time I go to that... I said that little doggy with the wig and tail there.
Right.
It always tells me that they can't establish a connection, and I'm already connected. And
what they're saying,
well,
they're not that you can't establish a connection, but they
the
can't. That right, but they can't connect to that server. Here's what's going on: Windows knows that it's connecting to a name. We'll use Google for example.
Okay.
And it's trying to connect to Google. Well, computers don't know for shimmel for names; they only know as numbers.
Okay.
Shimmel?
For shimmel, yeah, it's a good word. So your computer goes out to a computer at your dial-up accounts provider or however you're connecting called the DNS server, and the DNS server says, oh, yeah, this Google lives at this IP address, returns that to your computer, and then your computer says, okay, now I know where it is because now I got its real address and I can go there. That's actually what the steps that happen. It's very fast. But if your computer cannot properly talk to that server up at your ISP, the DNS, it's called a DNS server.
Right.
You're not going to get these things. And some DNS servers are what are called caching servers, and they don't store the they don't update the information correctly. So that would be something to check, too. See what it says in your network connections that the DNS server is set to, and check with your ISP to make sure it's correct.
Who is your internet service provider?
Frontier.
And that one should work.
Yeah. The thing is, I was getting it. Yeah. Phenomenal. I was getting all kinds of possibilities.
Try clearing out the cache?
It may be that you've downloaded something in your cache that's preventing you from going to Google, particularly some of the other places to which you can go. We'll do that. The other thing I might suggest is that you... Have you downloaded any of those cute little button bar things that do searching or any of that nonsense?
No, the only thing I've downloaded, and I think it's happened before I did that, but I downloaded a patch for my scanner, my 3200C Hewlett Packard scanner.
No. Yeah, try deleting the cache in your web browser.
Okay, now how do I... That I'm not familiar with.
What do you have... What browser do you use?
Internet Explorer.
Okay, I'm not running that.
Internet options. Very first page, you can delete your temporary internet files and also clean out the cache.
There you go.
Okay.
Try that and let us know what happens.
Okay, great. Thanks.
You know?
Appreciate it. You have a good day.
You too. Have fun. Our next caller, all the way in sunny Batavia, New York, it's Mike.
Hi there.
Welcome, Mike.
Yes. And great show, guys.
Thank you.
This is a Christmas computer question. You might enjoy this one. Okay? I put together a new computer at Christmas time, and I have a choice. My video card is not supported under 98 anymore, and I have to move on to Millennium or 2000 or XP and so forth. And the question I have is, my background is PDP 11s, VAXs, Alphas, you know, and
I started on a PDP 11.
Yeah, in college.
Yeah, that's what.
And to me, my motherboard will hold 3 gig of memory.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I've got 512 in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now the benefits. Should I install the memory before the operating system? Or is there a trick that I can do later to get the full benefits of that additional memory?
Well, it depends on what operating system you put in. If you put in Windows Millennium, then you might as well not put any RAM in because it's not really worth running, if you ask Dave.
Don't even get me started.
But if you do, it, like the other versions of Windows, doesn't like much over 256 meg.
What is this anyway? Is it P-what?
What's it? Oh, this is an AMD... 1400.
Okay.
XP
1400. Let's go right to XP.
Go to XP home.
Yeah, go to XP.
Go to Linux.
Here's the question. It's not the operating system. It's like right now, if I go to use the 512 and I add another 512 into it.
Yeah.
Is there, to me, is it better to add the 512 now than do the install?
No, do the install first, especially since you're running Windows 98. If 512 is more than Windows 98 can handle anyways. And
you're talking about building a whole new machine and putting a whole new operating system in
it.
Put all the memory in it you want.
It doesn't matter.
Load your operating system. If you add more later, the operating system will simply read it.
Yep.
Okay, to the full extent in the...
Yes, as long as you're using XP or Linux, the machine will read it without a problem.
Yeah, any of the Windows NT family...
Right.
Will, what is it, 4 gigs of memory it'll scale to?
Right. NT2000, yes, NT2000 or XP.
Okay. And not the same for ME or...
No, those are all DOS-based.
Okay.
And they don't run with anything much over 256, no matter how or when you add it.
Okay. And if you got time, I do have one comment about your poll this week. Whether Microsoft's trustworthy.
Right.
Over the years, I have found that they were all untrustworthy. I mean, Digital, IBM... Sun. I mean, to me, it seemed like if they were in a position to gouge, they did.
In this particular case, the point is that people don't trust Microsoft, did not in the past trust Microsoft with their private information. In other words, when you register... people were reluctant to do so because they didn't want Microsoft to have their data. They worry about Microsoft sending, and for years we've gotten this since DOS 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft stealing information from your hard drive and sending it to Microsoft. Those are the kinds of things we're talking about, not whether or not they're gouging you. It's a given that they're gouging you in price.
Where's the poll then?
Yeah, they have something called the Trustworthy Computing Initiative, which is designed around security, privacy, reliability, and business integrity, not price.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Pusilla, Jesse Graff, me, Nick Francesco, all of you, Soundbites, 1180, WHAM, Rochester, New York, Earth, center of the universe. Right here.
News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Who's got game when it counts? Only Wham! This Sunday, the NFL plays the AFC and NFC championship games. And only WHAM will bring it all home to you. First at 3 o'clock, it's McNabb and the Eagles hosting the Tampa Bay Bucs. Then at 6:30, it's McNair and the Tennessee Titans at Gannon and the Oakland Raiders. Two big games, one day, one station. The NFL plays on News Radio 1180, WHAM.
He's been called a rebel, a self-made man, a business genius. But there's one thing no one has ever called Jack Welch.
Dull.
Be there when the man who blew up a GE factory, then became their CEO, blows the roof off the Riverside Convention Center. Paytech presents an evening with Jack Welch. February 7th, get tickets at all Ticketmaster outlets. Charge by phone at 232-1900 or online at Ticketmaster.com. Corporate seating discounts available. Sponsored in part by WOKR News Source 13, News Radio 1180, WHAM, and the Rochester Business Journal.
Snap and shake. Let's go sleep. Discover it. Find the JCPenney.
The JCPenney one-day-only sale this Saturday. Save 20 to 50% store-wide all day. Plus, take an extra 10% off already reduced sale prices. Or an extra 15% when you use your JCPenney card. Doors open early, 9 a.m. with incredible doorbuster deals till 1. The JCPenney one-day-only sale this Saturday. JCPenney. Don't forget the question. Saturday, January 15th only.
On weekends, we volunteer to help rebuild homes in our community.
We love it, but oh, our knees didn't.
Discover new Flexium, a unique supplement for joint health. Flexium helps two ways. The patented ingredient in Flexium is proven to help ease the pain from everyday activities, and it provides the natural building blocks your body needs to help renew cartilage.
We both tried Flexium. In just 2 weeks, we started to feel better.
New Flexium from Pharmaton. For over 40 years, life made better every day. Look for our $3 coupon in Sunday's paper.
Where does Rochester turn for objective financial information? To Money and More, hosted by the Partners of the Horizon Group, every Sunday morning at 7 on 1180 WHAM.
They would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Plasola.
And I'm Jesse Graff.
And we are not in a chat room. Nor are we naked. So you're here.
God for small faces.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Especially in this small studio.
Don't use those two words together. Okay, we are going to go back to the mail here just for a moment.
Before
we get to the phones, we have a question from our pal, Shane from Northcote in Australia, one of our Down Under listeners. Didn't we do this one last week? Maybe not. Yes, this is the best practices thing.
Yeah, that's
what did you get last week? Get away from me.
No, that's the one I printed off so I could. I just wanted to tell him that I got his list here from Shane, and I'm going to see what I can come up with. I was down and under the weather this past
week. He's down under.
So was
so
I.
So you were there together?
No.
Yeah, Shane asked us to put together a best practices sheet on putting together a new machine.
And I'm going to, hopefully this week, try to put this up, and we'll post it onto our website. But I wanted to, just in case he didn't catch it, that I did get this off, finally getting into the mail and that. And I'm going to see what I can do to come up with it. And as a matter of fact, I would like a little input from him to see if that does help him.
Okay. And we already have one up for Windows ME. It consists of one word. Don't! You know what? What are we going to do when Windows ME is no longer? So we're going to have nothing to pick on.
Wait a minute, you're talking about Microsoft.
I believe Microsoft will rise to the occasion and give us many other opportunities.
No, Gates' wife won't let them.
She's the sweetest.
You gotta say
a couple of interesting things about them. Whatever you feel about them as individuals or as a company, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation does incredible work in terms of giving money and giving time and giving good things to charities and helping third world countries.
Isn't it like the richest foundation in the world?
Well, one thing I gotta admit, I've met Bill Gates three times when I was down at Comdex. And two of the times where he came over and sat at our table, literally sitting there talking, and we were talking about, because he's really into sports cars and everything else, and we were talking about that, and he was happy to just sit there, you know, here we're just kind of chilling out, and we're talking about sports cars and going on and on and on. He sat there with us a good 15, 20 minutes.
Yep.
Just talking about other stuff than work.
That's $3.4 million, by the way.
One son of a gun has to come up and say, well, I got a question to you about your OS.
And he was gone.
It's like, oh, sorry, guys, I got it.
Exactly.
The guy was really having a good time just chilling out.
We don't want to talk about computers. Frankly, folks, when I'm in line at Wegmans or at the video store, you want to talk about old movies, I'll talk about old movies. I don't want to talk about computers.
Well, there's the story about Bill Gates where that he's got some Porsche at the customs yard in Seattle.
Right.
Long time.
There's, it's not legal in the U.S. because there's no crash data to license it. Porsche only made like three of them. They're not going to crash it.
Right.
So the story was that he goes down to customs every couple of months and drives the car around the customs lot.
No, it's been released a while back.
Oh, they finally got it out of customs?
Yeah, they figure, you know what? There's only one. Let him drive it. If he dies, they got crash data.
We should be so lucky.
Nonsense. Don't say it. Our next caller is... You know, what's going to happen is... Before we go back to the phone, I have to say this. The folks at Microsoft here locally are always gigging me for saying bad things about Microsoft and Bill Gates. I have not actually said a bad thing about Bill Gates, and I can't tell you how long. But somebody... Cause, and none of them listen to the show, so it doesn't matter. But somebody will tell them, oh, somebody said Bill Gates should die on the show. And then I'll start getting nasty grams now. So I just want you to know that Tony Lucilla, who runs Linux.
Yeah, we know that, and that's why we say things like that, because it all goes back to Nick.
They all hate me because they think I hate Bill Gates. I don't.
If it wasn't for Bill Gates, you'd be an out-of-work actor.
I'd be an out-of-work actor. I say that all the time. But more importantly, I have nothing but respect for the man who created, whose wife created, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And I have to say good things about them.
Mm-hmm.
Does Microsoft make the best products on Earth? No, I don't think so. I think they're capable of it. I don't think they do. It. And that's why I talk about them the way I do. That's why I gig them, because I think they could be better than they are, and I think they can get there. If they couldn't, I would just say, well, you know, fine. I don't care. But I think they could. I don't care. The heck of the people at Microsoft. Let them live their life.
Let's go to the next caller.
All right. Our next caller is Ed from Fairport. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Yes. Good afternoon, fellas. Earlier you were talking about trust and reliability.
Right.
Although you were referring to Microsoft, I have got a question similar to that. Recently, a grocery store ran some notebooks on special for like $700.
Right.
And this is a 2.2 gigahertz notebook, Pentium 4s.
Yeah.
And I had heard that they were using desktop processors in the notebooks. Is that possible?
Yes, it is. Sure.
It is.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
It depends on the motherboard that's in them, and they can put whatever processor they want in them.
The trick is that mobile Pentium processors designed for laptops use much less power and generate much less heat, which means your battery lasts longer and your computer lasts longer with that mobile low-power processor.
Sure, but if you're not worried about heat and you're not worried about battery, then you can put any processor in them.
Well, I'd wonder, with the heat, with a desktop processor in them, you know, how long is that laptop actually going to last?
Well, and more importantly, we had that story about that guy who burned himself in a significantly interesting area.
On the airplane. Yeah,
sitting on an airplane with a laptop in his lap and burned himself severely.
They're portable computers, not laptops.
What I
don't understand is why the guy didn't notice it until the night, but that's neither here nor there.
The steward is coming up and saying, sorry, there is no smoking in first class.
My computer is almost too hot to hold now because it's been on for, 2 hours?
Well, it's that video you were playing before.
I know, but it's warming my hand because it is a little chilly in the studio.
Yeah, I have an 850. And it's just warm. It's just
mine's refrigerated, but you know.
Folks, you gotta see this.
Well, there's a
three
really
grown neat adults, and I'm in between
them.
They're all sort of cuddling up to their laptops.
Yeah, but every once in a while, Dave reaches over, picks up my
Doris, turns it on.
Seriously, to get back to your question, I do know I'm quite familiar with that laptop they were talking about, and I know what it is. Actually, I was going to buy one. The store ran out. You know, the price was significant. It is not a mobile processor in that. It's 2.2, but I don't, I can't use a laptop on an airplane or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So basically, if you were really planning on using it mostly as a desktop replacement and keeping it plugged in, be a perfect product.
Yeah.
And there's a neat product out called the Cool Pad for laptops that will lift up your laptop a little bit to let the air flow underneath it to help the heat dissipate.
And Steve will have the URL of that online on our website shortly. Did that answer your question, Ed?
He's done.
Good. Okay. Apparently,
Harry
was so bored he fell asleep. And I hope he's not in any way damaged. Darn it.
Well, actually, let me make a quick point, too, that a lot of the closeouts and specials you see like this in stores that don't ordinarily handle computers,
right,
and on the shopping channels on the cable side, especially late at night, they're typically discontinued models from companies that no longer exist. So you have to be very careful about buying those because you don't know where you're going to get your support from.
Right. Mm-hmm. When you buy a computer from one of our great local vendors like, say, Enright PC Management or, the Jesse Group or, Green Shields, just to pick three off the top of my head, you will find that they use quality components and charge you fairly low prices. You can, of course, go to some stores and buy $200 computers and $300 computers. In fact, there's a local, there's a national chain that is selling a $200 Linux computer. And you know what? It's a great deal, but you don't expect a $200 computer to last as long as an $800 or a $1,500 computer. It's like buying a car. You buy a $400 car, it's not going to last as long as a $2,000 car. Get over it. Or a $20,000 car, it's just not going to happen.
Especially if you're looking for computers for your business that are going to be on 10, 12 hours a day.
Exactly.
Buy a decent machine. $1,000 is a good price for a decent machine, decent quality components that is going to last a while.
Exactly. Now, those Linux boxes, I was thinking of getting one because I would be interested in trying Windows, which is the operating system it runs. I was just going to try it, and I thought that would be kind of fun. And a couple of $100 is not a lot of money to spend on playing like that. I expect it to be my main machine? No. Do I expect it to last 2 years? No. It's going to be a toy to play with until it dies.
It's a glorified PlayStation.
Exactly what it is. It's a toy. And you know it's a toy, and you're going to play with it as a toy. You want a real computer, you go to a real vendor, and spend a little real money.
You get what you pay for.
And you pay for what you get.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
So we're going back to the phones now, and we are going to talk to John from Geneva. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Thanks. I emailed you guys a question about a half hour, 40 minutes ago, and when I hit the thing to send the email, it came up error in a big paragraph across there. I had my daughter come over and look at it because she's more literate than I am, and she said, you did everything right. So I don't know where that problem originated.
I will play with it, thanks.
But the question I'm calling about, we live in the fringe areas of the WHAM listening area.
Yes.
Have poor reception. WHAM comes in real good, pretty good, but when we turn on the computer, it drowns out WHAM radio with the whirring and staticky sound.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do about it? Can we do anything?
Have you got a lot of paper clips?
No, aluminum foil.
Yeah, hat.
We wear the foil on our heads. So
they wear foil on their heads.
Our minds.
How old is your computer?
It's a new installation, it was installed in October of last year.
Do you have the case on it?
That's weird.
Oh, yeah.
Computers are required to have EM shielding to prevent this kind of electromagnetic interference from nearby radio equipment.
Are you talking about the fan is so loud, or are you talking about the computer, when you turn the computer on, the radio crackles and hisses?
The computer noise, that whirring motor sound, comes through the radio speaker.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, DM then.
My wife will get upset and shut the radio off.
Are you running like a cable modem?
Time Warner Cable.
Okay.
Our internet.
Do you have multiple machines connected?
Just this one computer and our TV set.
Okay, and how far is the computer from the cable modem itself?
I'm not very computer literate, but...
Roughly physical distance. Rough physical distance from the little box at Time Warner.
2 feet, 5 feet?
18 inches.
Hmm. It could be...
Where's the radio?
The radio is 15 feet away.
Could be a ground fault problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering, grounding and electric circuits.
And the AM radio often uses your electrical system as an antenna. And if your computer wiring isn't grounded properly,
mm-hmm.
then they could interfere with each other.
Yeah, it's less likely to be a computer problem. All new computers have to have electromagnetic shielding built into the case. Now, if you run them with the case off, all bets are off.
Mm-hmm.
But if you run, in fact,
no, this is the case on that sealed.
Right, so it should be safe from that, but...
Well, there's also a difference between Class A and Class B. I forget which is which, but one is for business and has to be higher shielded
right.
than the ones for home. So maybe, or is it the other way around? one has to be...
Since you were a little vague
I know.
First time,
yeah.
I can you easily say it should be the other way
it should
around.
Should be the other way around, yeah.
Just as right as you
so
were.
You should have more shielding in a Class A appliance than a Class B appliance.
Right, right. In mm-hmm. homes, you need more shielding
right.
than in business.
Is it a name brand PC or generic?
Generic.
That could be the problem. They might not have used the proper EM shielding. Is there an FCC identification tag on the back of the computer?
It's a little thing that on the power supply.
No, I'm more distance away from my computer than
that's all right. Here's the deal. First, you need somebody to check your electrical wiring.
Okay.
Because if, in fact, you have ground fault problems, that's bad. And
for every electrical device.
For every electrical device in your house. And, in fact, the safety of your family. So you need to get that checked.
All right.
If it's not that, then it is very likely that your system is not properly grounded.
You know what? I'm almost thinking you should call back next Saturday morning to Jim Salmon and the guys there in the home repair clinic.
There you go, and have them check
yeah,
it.
You,
they might
you
be
can,
able to tell them a little more
you
about
you can buy
electrical.
A ground fault tester at an electronic shop for $15-$20,
right.
and it will tell you if your electrical outlets are grounded properly.
Right.
Okay.
You need to do that for both the radio and the computer outlets.
You're not going to tell me I can go down to the radio shack and buy a 39-cent item that I can plug.
No, to test it with is a $20 item.
Okay.
To fix it is an electrician.
Guys, you mentioned another term to a previous caller.
Yeah.
Internet password. What does that mean? What is that?
When you go to get your email...
Yeah.
You have to give it a username and a password.
Even before that, when you dial into the internet...
Right, you're dialing in, right.
You need a dial-up username and password that lets you onto the internet. And then when you get your email, you have an email name and password. Now, they're typically the same, but they don't have to be.
Because you're on cable modem and Time Warner, you don't need that because basically what you're plugging into is a network. You're authenticating in the network, and they're authenticating based on the hardware that you have.
Right.
And then when you set up your email account, it would ask you... Well, you're setting that up through the various steps. It usually says, okay, give me the username that you're going to use in the email, and then it'll ask you for a password. So then when you go to check your email, you click on, say, Internet Explorer, mail, read mail, it goes out there, and if you've already stored that information, it'll sit there and download
okay.
all your email.
John, I'm sorry, we have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Jesse Graff, me, Nick Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
This is Governor George Pataki. We all want the best for our parents and our grandparents. We want them to be healthy so they can enjoy the best things in life, like travel, hobbies, and spending time with their grandchildren. That's where New York's EPIC program can help. EPIC is New York's prescription drug program, helping seniors across New York get the medicines they need to live longer, healthier lives. Now we've made EPIC even better, so more than 200,000 seniors can get the drugs they need. EPIC can save seniors more than $1,700 a year on their prescription medicines. Just listen to Katharina Roberts of Manhattan.
It was very easy. I filled out an application, and in a very short time I got my card. There are people in my building who didn't know about it and who are now on EPIC and now not having to choose between food and medicine, which is what EPIC is all about.
So why not look into EPIC, either for yourself or for someone you care about, today? To learn more, call 1-800-332-3742.
That's 1-800-332-3742.
When you want music on the radio, try Clear Channel's Mix 100.5. About 500,000 people listen to Clear Channel radio stations in Rochester every week, and more people are discovering Mix 100.5 every day. Mix means variety from the 80s, 90s, and now. It's a unique, upbeat mix that you won't find anywhere else on the FM dial. So next time you want music, don't think warm, think Mix. It's Rochester's best variety, Mix 100.5.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
You've heard how Real Lease makes it real simple to arrange equipment leasing that's right for your company, and here's why. Unmatched personal service. Behind the scenes at Real Lease, dedicated professionals focus their considerable experience to fulfill your equipment leasing needs like no one else can. By making the application and approval process real simple and real fast, just the way you want it. Real simple, real fast, Real Lease. Call 585-244-8855 to arrange a personal consultation.
Jack Welch blew up a GE factory and went on to become their CEO. Be there February 7th when he blows the roof off our town. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster locations or online at Ticketmaster.com.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. News Radio 1180, WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
You know, it's true, I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Placilla.
And I'm Jesse Graff.
And this is Soundbite. We're talking to Dave from Canandaigua. Hi there, Dave.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's your question?
Well, I inherited a job for a nonprofit organization here in Rochester. I manage a 2PC environment for them.
Uh-huh.
Keep the hardware going and the, you know, what have you, miscellaneous stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of reached a decision point about upgrading. And there's kind of a two different paths we might go down. One would be to spend some money, which is hard to come by for a nonprofit, and stay on the Wintel path.
Right.
Or to switch over possibly to Linux. And I have no doubts about the technical capabilities of Linux.
Yep.
I'm trying to address the institutional issues for people who are unfamiliar with it.
Well, actually, a couple of things. First off, it's a nonprofit in Canandaigua.
Actually, in Rochester.
It's in Rochester. It's getting more and more desktop friendly. I can speak from personal experience. I've used Linux in a production work environment for the past 6 years. Reading Word documents, sending email, creating, opening PDFs, all that kind of yada. I don't have a problem with it. My family, my wife, my kids, we use Linux at home. That's what we use. It's, you know, it works. The desktop environment is there.
Yeah.
So you can do it, but like anything else, like any other environment that you're going to be training somebody in, it's going to be different. Imagine the difference you'd have to do is if you train somebody who'd been used to working on Windows 3.1.1 and all of a sudden they're faced with, oh, say, NT.
Right, what operating system are you using now?
98 second edition.
So if you move up to a modern machine with XP, there's going to be a lot of retraining involved anyway.
Right.
And, you know, what are they going to do? Get their email, write documents, pretty much, right?
Yeah, we're using Office Pro.
Yeah, and Star Office or Open Office just works. It works the same.
Yeah.
You know, the icons are in different places and they're different little
right.
pretty colors. But it,
right.
you know, a bulleted list is a bulleted list. It works the same
yeah.
way.
Yeah. But it's not even those technical details per se. It's the whole idea that, yeah, I mean, there's one person that it impacts most significantly, and in fact, she just broke her ankle, so she can't get up the stairs to the office.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, if we had just switched over to Linux, then how would anybody in the organization be able to use this machine? So we need to create a core of users, and again, this is all volunteer in a very short period of time,
right.
because there just isn't a Linux, consumer Linux.
Well, but remember that in terms of a day-to-day desktop user,
right.
all they do is click on buttons and write and click on menus and save.
Right.
And that is identical in Linux as it is under Windows. You're not asking these people to recompile the kernel.
Right.
Or set up an NFS share.
Yeah.
You know, right. As a Windows NT administrator, do you expect your users to set up the file shares and to map it? It's the same thing.
Right, but who's going to help them if I were to become unavailable?
The same people that would help them if you were become unavailable with Windows assistance.
There is
a community. And I'll tell you this, honestly. Send me an email.
Okay.
Tony@soundbites.org.
Okay.
And I'll volunteer to train your users. If this were a non-profit, I'll spend 6 hours training your users for you.
Okay.
You're a good guy. Tony's
all
a good
right.
Guy.
We love
and
that.
And that's one of the best things about the Linux community is the camaraderie. You know, even us in the Mac and the Windows communities, we're among ourselves, but you get a lot bigger, you know, community.
Yep.
With the other alternate OS.
Yeah, and you'll find that it's as good as anything else. We're done for another week. I apologize to everybody who we didn't get to. Thank everybody we did get to. Special thanks to Dr. Tony Placilla, who not only sat here and played with us, but volunteered to help a not-for-profit, and you can't beat that. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Jesse Graff, who kept us on time and on tune and on the clock, and we'll be back.
The normal time.
The normal time, 12:25 p.m. for Wham 1180. I'm Nick Francesco. We are Soundbites, and we'll see you next week.